You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we find ourselves on this dreary Memorial Day weekend, this Pentecost Sunday, actually, at least me, I won't put you in this category, but me asking the age-old question, where can I find meaning in this life? Whether you ask yourself that explicitly, I think we all ask it implicitly. We want to know, where can I find meaning? Where can I find purpose? Why am I here? And the culture at large is always asking this question. And I think the church has an answer, and we'll get to that in a moment, but we're looking for meaning. We're looking for purpose. As I was coming through school, three popular films that really asked this question well and give a good diagnosis. All three came out in 1999 or the year 2000, kind of back to back to back, and they all kind of ask and address the same question. And these movies are Office Space, I know that's a personal favorite of Tom Murray's, Office Space, Fight Club, and American Psycho. Do you remember those three movies? Different in their presentation, but the subject matter is actually rather similar. Office Space is, of course, a comedy. The other two are a little darker. That may not be your bag. But they deal with young men in particular. This is not just a male-female thing, but in this case, three protagonists, all youngish men, and they hate their jobs. They hate their careers. They hate where they find themselves. Working in middle management, just humdrum, corporate society. And of course, Office Space, the protagonist finds his meaning in rebellion and anarchy. He rejects the order. Fight Club, similarly, they produce an alternative society of these men who like to get together and fight. And then American Psycho, which actually is a very tasteful horror movie. You know, it's dealing with violence, but it never shows on screen. I can appreciate that. I'm kind of squeamish. It never shows on screen the things this murderer is doing. But similarly, on Wall Street, he finds himself just disillusioned by his life. He's blended in with everyone else. He's got the same haircut, the same glasses, the same business card. Who am I? Well, that was a long, winded warm-up for Pentecost. The church asks the same question, who are we? The world asks, and the church is left to answer. And often, the world answers that our meaning, our purpose, is found in what we produce, what we do, how we work, where we work. We find our identity in what we accomplish or succeed. And this works perhaps for a season, perhaps when one is young, but I know for many of my friends here, retirement is not all that it's chalked up to be. Often we found so much meaning and purpose in our work that when we retire or we move on to a new position, we can't find who we are anymore. The human condition is such that we try to produce, we try to justify, we try to prove ourselves by what we do. And of course, this is just the age-old problem of the law. Religion can take it to the worst place. In some ways, that's what Pentecost, not our season of Pentecost, but the Feast of Weeks for the Jewish people. This is not anti-Semitism. Again, this is the religious heart in all of us seeking justification. But do you know what Pentecost is? The Feast of Weeks is why they were gathered. The Jewish people were gathered in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. And this is actually a God-ordained festival. If you go to Exodus chapter 34, God says this day will be set aside to celebrate the harvest of wheat, the good fruits of the earth that God has given his people. But the religious imagination just can't leave it there. And they decide this is the day that God gave the law. And so the Jewish people began celebrating the birthday of the law on the Feast of Weeks. That's not how God set it up, actually. They made that part up. They calculated with their calendars, this is the day that Moses was given the law. And so they're setting out the birthday cake. They're about to light the candles for the birthday of the law. And God comes rushing in with a violent wind to blow those candles out. He's not going to have it anymore. Instead of a celebration of the law, God leaves an exclamation point on the gospel. And so like the characters in Office Space and Fight Club and American Psycho and You and Me, we're always searching for meaning and how we toe the line and what we're doing, what we're producing. The church has a different answer. God gives us our identity and our purpose and our meaning by the gospel. Now, on this first Pentecost, of course, the Holy Spirit came down and lit a new fire, no longer the birthday candles for the law, but a new fire that rested upon them so that they could hear in their own language the mighty works of God. For the first time, they could hear the gospel message. And Peter quotes from the Old Testament, but he lands the plane by simply saying to them, and again, they can finally hear it in their own language. He says, look, men of Israel, you that crucified Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, believe the gospel, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, he's preaching God's grace, and with that, the Holy Spirit comes. Not to say that we control the Holy Spirit, but God's Spirit accompanies the preaching of grace. And so for you and for me, the exclamation point of the gospel on this Pentecost Sunday tells us who we really are. We are forgiven sinners. And I'm not making this part up. This is verse 38, which goes beyond our reading, but chapter 2 of Acts, verse 38, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, from the very beginning, Pentecost is all about forgiveness. This is the gospel, that forgiveness would land. The Holy Spirit actually applies it to real people. It's no longer just a general idea, but now in their native tongue, they can receive that word of forgiveness and believe it. So again, not just the Jewish people, but all people. We're seeking that meaning, that purpose, that justification in what we do. And we fall back on the law. We fall back on proving ourselves before God. I think of the John Cougar Mellencamp song, Hurt So Good. Do you remember that one? That's what religion can do to us. We believe that's what we need and want. It hurts so good. Sometimes love don't feel like it should. That's not true love. That's not true Christian gospel religion. We're falling back into something that we think we need. And this was what the Puritans did, right? I'm no friend of the Puritans. You can write that down. See what they did to New England? I mean, goodness gracious. They tried that, though, falling back on control and the law and putting everything in its proper place and, tiptoeing so you don't burst the eggshells. Look what it did. By the way, a film that explores that is The Witch, 2016, Robert Eggers. Go watch that one. It shows how the law crumbles in New England society, and it takes this family over. But in any case, we want so badly to go back to the law, but God won't have it. God simply won't have it. On this Pentecost day, on this Feast of Weeks, he comes rushing in to, not tenderly, but loudly preach the gospel to them. I'm not suggesting that you and I should break out in tongues right now or have fire over our heads. Maybe it's a little quieter this morning for you and for me, but that same message is being proclaimed, that your sins are forgiven, and that who you actually are is a baptized recipient of God's grace. And no matter what you've done or left undone, no matter what you've brought this morning that you believe separates you from God, the Holy Spirit is landing on you right now to say there is no separation. There is no separation between you and God because of the love of Jesus Christ. That's Pentecost. That's what it's all about. That you and I can celebrate over and over again to hear the message of God's grace and forgiveness. And from time to time, we fall back on old ways. And time to time, like the early disciples, that first group of 11 behind locked doors, they forgot who they were. They forgot who Jesus was. And he had to come and remind them. He had to come and show them in his hands and his side. And he utters those words, peace be with you. Not rubbing their nose in it, not scolding them, not wagging the finger, but rather saying, you have found peace and forgiveness in these wounds right here. This is who you are. You've been immersed into my death and now my risen life. And he goes on, he breathes on them. I don't think they had Mentos back then, but he breathes the Holy Spirit on them. And he gives them the charge. He says, if you forgive sins of anyone, they will be forgiven. And if you withhold them, they will be withheld. In other words, don't withhold. Jesus didn't withhold. And when Jesus says to forgive, he doesn't say forgive when you're ready. You know, when you feel ready. No, he says forgive, and forgive over and over again. This is our purpose in this life, to receive that forgiveness from God and then to dole it out freely. This is what the church is all about. So if you're asking the question this morning, what is my meaning, what is my purpose? Well, you don't have to go looking for it. It's found you. You are loved and forgiven in Christ Jesus our Lord. And now you get to work for the forgiveness factory, the church. That's our whole existence. Is to forgive sins. That's my vocation. That's their vocation. That's your vocation. That we receive and we reiterate the forgiveness of God. That's the one thing that happens in the church that happens nowhere else. You may be wondering, well, why is Jay Gardner here? Why is he not at his lake house right now? It's Memorial Day. I don't have a lake house. That's why I'm here. But I'd rather be nowhere else. This is exactly where I want to be, to hear the word of God and to proclaim it to you, that you are forgiven, that you are claimed and loved. And for those 38 of you that decided to join me this morning, you're here too to hear that word. And if you're on the live stream, thanks be to God. You are forgiven as well. Not for being absent, but for your sins. This is our whole existence, is that we forgive and because we've been forgiven. I went through a season of my life where I had a falling out with a dear friend, and it took me a long time, at least 6 months, but perhaps longer, to be able to pray the Lord's Prayer honestly again. You know the line where it says, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." We don't do that in our power. That only comes by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's not waiting for us to get our act together. Notice here in Acts chapter 2, they don't invoke the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rushes in, just as Jesus rushed in behind those locked doors. He's not waiting for you to make the first move. He gives you all that you need. He makes the first move, and that message, because of the Holy Spirit, will land exactly where you need it, when you need it. So here we are at the church. We hear the word over and over again. That's why we gather. And that's why the disciples had to hear it twice. He said, "Peace be with you." And he told it to them twice because the promise has to be reposted over and over again. We forget it. It leaks out of us. We forget who we are. So if you've forgotten who you are this morning, let me tell you once again, you are forgiven and free because of Christ Jesus, our Lord. You are his. You belong to him. And you get to go share that message with the world. And maybe you find yourself in a job you don't care much for. Maybe you're retired and you're wondering, why am I still here? God's given you a purpose to receive this message and to proclaim it in word and deed to others. One of our Lenten preachers this past season, Kurt Benham, was quoting a bishop that he had known, a retired bishop now, but the bishop would go do his visitations at all the churches in his diocese, and he would ask them, well, why should I come to your church? You know, if you're going to evangelize your neighbor, what would you tell them? And the people would step up and say, oh, well, you know, our outreach programs are just wonderful. And the bishop would say, well, I'm a member of Kiwanis. We do plenty of outreach. We do it better than you do. And they say, well, you know, our music program, it's just unmatched. And he would say, well, I've got season tickets to the symphony. I don't really need that. I would give a qualification. Our music ministry is unmatched. And I will say, I had chills during the psalm this morning. Thank you for that. So, okay, maybe the choir's enough for us to come. But there's more to it. He would say, besides the outreach and the music, what else? And they said, well, the fellowship's really good here. He says, I'm a member of the country club. I've got friends. I don't really need to go to the church. And the point he was trying to make, and he finally would say it, is the only thing you have to offer the world is the forgiveness of sins. That's it. Everything else supports that cause. Everything else, our outreach, our worship, our music ministry, our fellowship, it's all a reflection of the gospel of grace. That we are made right with God because of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins. You belong to the forgiveness factory. That is our purpose. You are made whole by the gospel this morning. And my prayer for you and for me is that the Holy Spirit would land upon you and assure you of that. If you don't believe my words, believe the bread and the wine, where God seals his promise to you that you belong to him and he belongs to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you remind us over and over again of this message, that your peace, your love, your forgiveness is secure. We don't have to go looking for it. You have found us here this morning. And Lord, I pray as we continue to celebrate, as we receive your body and blood, that we would take it out into the world and dole it out freely. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.